3, 2, 1, go, it's a podcast! Hey everybody, this is Boss Barrel Radio. I am Griff Hoffman, and with me is Jeff Brewer.
Hello, I have a name for a podcast real quick.
Okay, go.
How about Serial?
Ah, original. I love it. What's the premise?
We follow three people who have delusions of grandeur about their ability to speak cogently and interestingly about video games for years at a time.
Can I be the sassy one?
You're always the sassy one.
Sexy one, James Scherer.
Woo! No clothes, no pants.
Are you the Samantha of the podcast?
Yeah. I have a sexy mole on my face that attracts all the boys in my yard.
All the honeys. Wait, okay, so a cougar is like an older lady that is like, you know, is attractive and goes for younger men, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the prey called? Like, cougars go out and they're like, I'm going to get me some pups or something? What are they?
I don't know. House guests.
Bros. I don't know.
House guests? Pool boys?
No, a house cat, I said.
Oh.
A terrier. A Jack Russell Terrier.
GRGs.
Wait, what's a mountain lion in this parlance? Like, I know what a cougar is, but or like a coyote.
What's a Mavericks? What's a Mavericks in the whole thing? Hey guys, this is a podcast about video games sometimes.
No.
I just found out on the internet that a mountain lion is another name for a cougar, and another name for both of those things is a puma. So they're all the same.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
No, puma is a brand of shoes, Jamie. Mm. That's incorrect.
Puma is the first name of a porn star, I believe.
Is that the one who came from... actually, I'm not going to go there. Just going to talk about the one from the place that we all grew up, but I don't want to. It's a bad choice.
Wait, I don't know about this. I'm afraid.
I know the name of that one because another friend of ours who will remain nameless, whose name I almost just said just now, loved her.
Oh, no.
And would refer to her constantly.
Like, loved her like somebody loves a really good book and like in that they read it a lot, or loved her like... Like the way that a mommy and a daddy love each other.
You know how, like, when you're in high school and you start, there's always like that one kid who like loves Jägermeister and he won't shut up about Jägermeister.
I feel like
it's like that. It's like that.
Oh, huh.
Yeah.
All right.
All right then.
Well, she's a doll.
We're all gonna get sued.
Yeah. Well, hey guys, it's December, end of the year.
This is true.
All the games are out. We're all dead. Nintendo, it rules the world.
Best game of the year? Best game of the year? Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yep, nailed it.
Wii U, greatest selling console of all time?
That's right.
Yep.
Best game of the year, Terminator 5, Genesis.
I watched two trailers today. I guess it's not a trailer, but I watched the announcement for the new Bond movie.
Bond 24.
Much more excited for Bond 24 than I am for that piece of shit looking.
Whoa! Wait,
can I talk about speaking of pieces of poop? Have you guys seen the Jurassic World teaser?
Yeah, I do. No. I have seen it. Sorry.
Does it not look like the worst piece of trash in the history of time, Griffin?
I kind of don't. No.
Don't do it.
I like
don't
Chris
do it.
Pratt. Maybe okay, he'll sing a song about dinosaurs.
Can I tell you like one of Chris Pratt's actual lines, just like word for word?
Uh-huh.
He's like, hybrid dinosaur, that's bad.
He's right. That's not good.
Hybrid dinos, that's bad.
He doesn't even know that. I think they're good.
The premise of the movie is
their carbon footprint is almost neutral.
It's not even clear what they're hybridizing. I guess one dino into another dino?
I think it's a Dayglo paint and a dinosaur.
I feel like having hybrids, like Jurassic Park never needed hybrids.
Yeah. And the whole point is that they're making the normal dinosaurs.
Yeah, and it never needed a Velociraptor motorcycle gang.
Oh, but it does now that you said that.
It does not. It does not.
It's going to be Jurassic World: Biker Mice from Mars.
Oh, I'd be down for that.
Anyway, tell me about Genesis, Jamie.
It looks really
Genesis,
good.
I was really excited for it because I heard there was going to be a T-1000 kind of dude going on in there. And there is. And actually, he's probably the most promising thing of the movie because he's Asian and he looks really stern.
Wait,
and
he is?
Yeah, he's Asian.
But
he's
Asian. Are you certain?
Yeah. He's Asian T-1000.
Because I've watched that trailer a couple times and it looks like the same guy as before.
Nope.
Oh?
I'm going to check now, because now you're making my mind hurt.
I checked IMDb, and I was like, wait, is that Jet Li? And it was nobody.
Well, the guy from before played the shitty agent on The X-Files in the ones that were bad.
Oh. Yeah, but it's not
Doggett.
That guy.
No.
I just assumed that they turned that guy into a computer.
Korean actor Lee Byung-hun will play...
Wait, what's his name, Jamie?
Lee Byung-hoo.
Okay, just making
sure. Korean.
Can we just sprinkle some more racism on you?
Yeah. Since he's Korean, I bet he's good at StarCraft. But that was the best thing about the trailer, and then the rest of it was just nonsense.
What are you talking about? They had CG young Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's actually awesome.
The best part of the movie.
But the I'm actually excited about that. But then old Arnold Schwarzenegger jumped out of one helicopter and or airplane and then dove through another helicopter
and
or airplane.
And he said, I'll be back before he did that.
Yeah, he did.
I don't see anything wrong about this.
It's
actually
such a good trailer. There's also a ton of dude nudity.
I got a really cartoony feel, and that's not what I want from my Tomb Raider. Jesus, that's not what I want from my Terminator.
Oh, so you're waiting for the gritty reboot of Terminator?
I want the horror movie. I'm on the Jeff Gerstmann side of the argument, where I think that Terminator is at its best when it's like a straight up horror movie. Like I want an 80s horror movie.
All right.
Can I tell you why Terminator Genesis is going to be the greatest movie, as quoted from Arnold Schwarzenegger's Twitter feed?
Uh-huh.
Terminators don't wait for timelines. They create them.
Yeah, this is like the year of the reset timeline. Like, they specifically say that in the trailer, where they're like, your time doesn't exist anymore that you thought you were going to. This is a way cooler time.
It's weird, because it's not really they're not really, like, jettisoning everything.
It's like the Star Trek reboot. It's like, oh, we're going to preserve
exist.
The lore.
Yeah.
But destroy, it's bleh.
Yeah, something.
Remember when Khan said Khan, and then or Shatner said Khan. Now this time, it's that guy from Heroes.
No, it's Benjamin Cumberbatch. Bash.
Bless you. Sexiest man on earth.
Speaking of that, the bad guy from Sherlock is in the new James Bond movie too, along with. The German guy who's awesome.
Wait, which bad guy from Sherlock?
Main
Moriarty?
Yeah.
Moriarty. Oh, good.
Oh, nice.
I like him.
That's awesome.
Moriarty's in James Bond. And then also, who's the evil German man who's in all the great movies?
Christoph Waltz?
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Oh.
Also, lesbian blue lady is in it.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that?
Léa Seydoux.
Oh,
and Ralph Fiennes is still in it, and the guy I really enjoyed Skyfall, and they have the exact same writers, so I'm hopeful. I'm looking forward to that.
That's great.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that I felt like Skyfall had some issues.
No.
Yeah.
Skyfall was really good.
The only issue with Skyfall is that song didn't play during the entire movie.
That was a good song.
No, I still maintain Skyfall is two different movies. That's my problem with it, where you have the James Bond movie, and then the back third is just Home Alone 5.
Yep.
I love both of those movies.
Yeah, they're both
good. I feel like his relationship with M in that movie was just, it became, like, kind of ridiculous.
Mm, delicious, you mean.
Yeah. You mean great, because he's got no mom, and he's got all these deferred feelings, because he's broken inside. Let the sky fall.
Also, I didn't really like when he kind of almost raped that lady.
You mean in everyone?
That's his signature move. He's been doing it since the 60s.
Oh, you're so right.
Dr. No, more like Dr. Yes.
Oh, no. Oh.
Did you guys actually watch the little press release? Because it was hilarious.
It was, I did not.
Before they introduced any of the cast members, whoever the hell was announcing it was like, well, let me introduce the first cast member. And then he pulls the tarp off the new Aston Martin.
Oh, no.
It was incredible. And he's like, I hope I don't snag it on the mirror.
Was it Sir Elton John that announced this?
Yes, it was a drunk Elton John. He wasn't even supposed to be there, but he just like felt the mood and he got in character and he delivered.
Did he just start doodling on the piano? Like,
yeah. It was actually a piano app on his phone. And he was a tiny dancer.
Well, speaking of movies, you guys check out that trailer for Star Wars?
Yeah.
I did.
What do you think about Saber Hiltgate?
I think the Saber Hilt is really stupid.
Oh, no, it's so good.
I like
it. It's so dumb.
Yes. It's amazing. Oh my god.
I think the movie on the whole looks like it's going to be really good though. I'm excited.
Rolly droid.
Rolly droid.
Black stormtrooper.
I could take or leave Rolly droid. I'm not crazy about Rolly droid, but
I'm buying. Put out a toy of that.
Yeah, right. That's going to be the new Tickle Me Elmo.
I just feel like they really nailed that orchestral string when the black guy shows up. Just whomp. For no reason.
No. It's a gorgeous trailer. Yes, I did. I did like the sword hilt thingies.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think that Millennium Falcon looks baller.
Yeah.
That's another thing I wasn't crazy about, actually. It looked really CG to me for some reason.
How does it feel to be so wrong about so many things?
I'm just coming in with tempered expectations. See, I'm going to have a better time with it than you guys because I'm not expecting the world.
You're right.
Because there's no way it's going to be anything like your memories of the original trilogy. It's going to be better than...
I've already went through this once, so what about... Yeah, you know...
Yeah,
it's not like I'm really expecting a lot.
That's true.
I really love the new Star Trek movies. Like I really really love them, especially the second one. So I feel like I can't temper my.
Whereas I just kind
you
of
prefer
like
the second
them.
One over the first one.
Yeah.
Huh.
I've only seen the first one.
That's a unique opinion.
I liked the first one, but I feel like it's not really. It didn't feel like a Star Trek movie, but it gives me hope for him making Star Wars.
Yeah, it definitely didn't. I actually agree with you. That's kind of why I strayed away. I mean, I like the first one, but it's just an action movie, and that's not what Star Trek is to me.
Mm. Yep.
The second one was still an action movie, but I feel like, I don't know, I enjoyed the twists in it.
I think there was a scene in that movie where there was a guy jumping off a helicopter shooting two guns at once.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that reminds me of this terrible movie I saw long ago, some Christmas movie. The one good part in it is there was a movie within a movie where James Franco played a generic action hero, and Lindsay Lohan is his sidekick, and she goes, "Why'd you bring two guns?" And he goes, "I didn't think one would be enough."
Speaking of a movie inside a movie, have you guys seen that? You see the new Hunger Games film?
No, not yet.
Not yet, no.
I went and watched it over the, I think, previous weekend or the weekend before before I was out of town, and it was fine. I thought it was paced really oddly, and it seemed kind of low-budgety with their art direction that they went. Mm. But the thing that stood out to me the most is the weirdest part was they're cutting, like propaganda films in the movie, and they use the Hunger Games logo, music, and like, visual package treatment to create the videos in the world that they're already using for trailers. So it's that same typeface. It's the same like way
you mean like
the screen. They're like join the army, and it's like it's the Hunger Games typeface, and it's like the Mockingjay sound.
You mean like it looked like it did on the original books? I don't understand.
Like the move when you look at the movie posters and the movie trailers and stuff.
I
like
get it.
In the promo movies they're making in the movie, they use the same treatment that they're using for real life. It's like a mirror. It really weirded me out.
I feel like I can accept that the promotional material we're looking at, it was always intended to be the stuff that she was using, though. Seems okay to me.
I can see it both ways because I see what you're saying, Griff, but at the same time, like, what if in Star Wars there was, like, things with the Star Wars font?
Exactly. Would, like, yeah. It's like...
It would be weird, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. If, you know, it's like, oh, this is the thermal cooling duct of the Death Star, brought to you by MGM Studios and Skywalker Ranch. And you're like, wait a second, what?
Griff, have you read the books?
Or I did. Just... Yeah, I read all the books.
Yeah. And you felt the movie wasn't very well paced? Or...
Because
the third book is kind of an odd beast, yeah. I feel like.
It is.
Because the third book, like, nothing really happens, and she doesn't really do anything other than, like, going to a place and stuff happens, mm-hmm. and then she goes to another place, and then more stuff happens. Mm-hmm. She mm-hmm. never does stuff. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, I think then that's when the back half of the book is more entertaining, and that's the problem with this movie, where they're like, we'll split it in two, and we'll stretch this part out to be the worst, you know, end of a trilogy kind of.
I'm just waiting for the Maze Runner part three, part one.
Oh, man, are they finally out of that maze?
Kind of find out in part one of part three.
Well, I'm going to take us off track again. I purchased a case of Coca-Cola Life at the grocery store.
Oh, I saw your Facebook picture of that. That really was disturbing.
Yeah, right?
Is it Splenda? Oh, no, it's probably Stevia,
it's
right?
It's Stevia. Yeah, whatever the hell that is. Cane sugar and Stevia.
Stevia is...
I'm assuming it's just like it's like some weird psychocarcinogenic thing that it's gonna either make you poop your pants or get stomach cancer in like.
So let me tell you the official copy for it, and we can parse whatever we think this actually means. Apparently, it is some kind of plant extract, like just a pure plant extract.
Uh-huh.
And there's some crappy thing that says that it comes from a leaf.
All right, I just had two gulps of this and. Doesn't have the acidic nature of Coca-Cola, definitely. Doesn't have that, like if your mouth was bleeding and you drank Coca-Cola, the Coca-Cola would overpower the blood taste, but this would not do that.
I remember drinking orange juice with Stevia, and it was gross.
Oh.
But.
I remember being on some kind of medication at one time in my life, and one of the side effects was... I wish it was like irony taste in your mouth.
Terrifying.
It was terrifying, and the only way, the doctor told me, they're like, yeah, it might cause this. If it ever does, just eat something or drink Coca-Cola. And I'm like, okay, so I did, and then I really enjoyed Coca-Cola from that point on. Huh? It, like, made me fall in love with it harder.
Huh. That's very interesting. I try not to drink soda anymore because. I can control one area of my life where I just load up on junk. I try.
Nice, yeah.
But I don't.
I'm drinking soda right now. I'm drinking a beautiful Diet Pepsi.
You're gonna get diabetes.
Diabetes.
Did you hear about that study, Jamie? Which was really, really small. It was like 12 people, but basically, I think they gave 8 of them diet sodas, and like within like 3 weeks, I think it was,
all
with
dead.
No prior
all
history.
Pregnant.
No, 5 of them were showing glucose resistance or whatever, yeah. Or insulin resistance.
I did see that study.
Whoa.
That's crazy town.
It's small, but there are others like it. And it's pretty much been known for a while that like it may help in terms of calories, but it completely dysregulates your sugar like intake needs on the level of your conscious craving for sugar. Which is weird.
Yeah, bad town.
Eat more chemicals.
Don't. You're going to die, Jamie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wilford Brimley is going to come after you.
Well, you guys should really play Charles Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Guy Dan.
I have it downloaded. I haven't actually...
Speaking
what
of
the hell
Wilford Brimley.
Oh, is he in it?
Yes.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
It's amazing. It's an amazing fan-made game that is the sequel to Space Jam. And it uses aspects of like a Mario RPG combat system, but then also
is it
like
sprite. Free?
Yeah, it's free. Yeah.
Is Space Jam required viewing, Griff?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't. No, I mean in order to enjoy the game.
Yes. Have you not seen Space Jam?
I have not.
What's it called?
It's called.
Tell me so
Charles
I can download it now.
Barkley, Shut Up and Jam Gaiden.
Okay, now we can address the fact that Jeff hasn't seen Space Jam because when he was a child, he was being beaten permanently. Or
pretty
something.
Much.
I don't know.
I had nothing good in my childhood. Just laugh it off.
Space Jam is essentially the stevia of all Michael Jordan's career.
Hopefully it's available somewhere where I can get it easily.
Like Space Jam?
The Netflix. Yeah, maybe the Netflix or the...
I don't know.
Amazon's.
I think I bought it on Blu-ray for like $5.
All right, I'll do that.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap. And it's a fine film. Good Bill Murray.
Bill Murray's in it? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like a businessy type, right?
He's like the manager.
Bad guy?
No, he's like the comic relief, as if there's not enough already.
Okay, good. I'm glad that they tempered all those cartoon characters.
They also have Newman.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's just rounding it out there with...
I'm downloading it now. I'm very excited.
Oh, I'm so excited. You need to play this game. It's tons of fun. Bill Cosby is in it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Topical.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, as Ghost
Dad. Isn't it like set in an apocalyptic future?
Yeah, it's after Charles Barkley performs the chaos dunk and causes a like nuclear holocaust and wipes out a big chunk of the population, and then basketball is banned and is a punishable by death crime, and all the basketball players go into hiding. Michael Jordan is actually a police officer who's working with the government to track down the other ballers. And you run across people like Larry Bird and I think like the great octoroon grandson of LeBron James.
Oh no!
Charles Barkley's son plays a major role, whose name is Skates. I forget what it is. You get a cyber Viking dwarf in your party who, as part of the promotion for Kickstarter for Barkley 2, you could get a body pillow of.
Did you pay that tier, please?
It was like a lot of money, so I decided not to.
Your worst mistake.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah, the cyber dwarf body pillow was a good one. I cannot recommend it more. And it also has the best title music, which is a remix of the theme song to Space Jam. And every time you go to save, it is essentially like you're berated through a big old text scroll that's essentially just the internet talking about Final Fantasy VII.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I'm excited to finally watch Space Jam and play that game.
Do it. Do it. You owe it to yourself. What else
How
is happening this year?
How long is it? Because it looks like a straight up RPG.
It is. You could probably get it done in less than 10 hours. It's like, you don't need to grind or do anything like that. It's pretty fast moving.
Nice.
Good to know.
Yeah.
What about that game, though? You were saying the thing.
Shoot. What was I saying about Park? Oh, Wilford Brimley is in it. That was all. That's a major plot point where your son gets infected with diabetes.
By the government?
I think it might be a rival enemy that infects you. Maybe Michael Jordan does it. I forget.
This sounds really good.
It's really good.
I'm sad that I haven't played it yet.
Well, you can change that today.
This is true. Although I have to watch Space Jam first.
And you've probably been playing some other games. Like what?
Whoa!
Oh, Jesus!
We're here now.
It's 25 minutes in. It's about time.
We were there, and now we're here. Jamie, hey, what have you been playing?
Pass the potato.
This is like a grenade that we're throwing. Hey, Griff, have you enjoyed
anything? Hey, Jamie, what?
Griff, send it back. Send it back.
Oh, no. I got the water balloon blew up in my hand, guys.
Wait.
Complete the circle.
I woke daddy.
I grabbed the grenade and I shoved it up my butt.
I can say the things I played.
Speaking of shoving stuff up your butt.
Oh, yeah.
Played that Pokemon game.
Ooh. You and I both played that game, Griff.
We did. We both played that new Pokemon game.
Tell me about this game, because I hear it's terrible from everyone.
When you say everyone, do you just mean us?
No, I mean, like, even people, like, take
even
Griffin
Nintendo,
McElroy.
They're just like, ugh, what did we do?
Griffin McElroy is a big big fan of this series, and he gave it a good score. I mean, but he's not exactly enthusiastic about it. He said it's kind of like, he almost said, like, of all the Pokemon games, this is like one that doesn't necessarily deserve to be remade. Do you guys agree with that?
Yep.
Why is that?
Can I say one thing that should be so obvious? If Griffin McElroy gave it or didn't really like the game that much, why did he give it a good score?
Because Polygon has a weird review system where the writer of the review does not give the game the score.
Why did Polygon write that article where they're like, buy the game over the... whatever.
I don't know.
Video game journalism, folks.
Fair and balanced.
Irreputable. Yep.
I feel like that game is just not, it's not aged very well. There's nothing really like, like, I feel like the reason why Heart Gold and Soul Silver were fun is because they had the nostalgia factor. Like, everyone was so, like, mind blown by exploring the old region after beating the game. This game has, like, nothing. It's like, oh, there's lots of new Pokemon. Those are kind of cool.
Are there?
I'm talking about its place in the Pokemon series.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
At the time, there were lots of new Pokemon. That was cool. It was pretty much like kind of like a reboot, though. It was like, oh, like we don't really know where to go from like the sequel, so we're just gonna kind of reboot the franchise in a way. Mm-hmm. And they kind of, I think they started over with like Route 1 again or something. I can't remember anymore. But it just feels really, it's kind of like a shadow of the first game almost in a lot of ways. I feel like. It's like, oh, we're just kind of going through the motions. There's
when you say the first game, are you saying Pokemon OG?
Yes. Okay. Sorry. I'm speaking about its place in the series still.
Okay.
I feel like the core gameplay of that game, like the mechanical stuff they introduced was interesting. And I feel like that was the only hook at the time. So the only hook of this was, okay, you're basically playing the first game again, kind of. But we have all this cool new shit now. Every Pokemon has an ability now. And like, you know, there are natures and stuff and all these new complicated twists on the formula. But this time around, it's like, oh, all that stuff's been around forever, but do it again, I guess. It's like the only thing that made it good was the stuff that they added mechanically, but that's no longer novel. So there's not much going on. And I think they tried to add mechanical stuff, I guess, to kind of make it cool again. Like I think the Dex Nav, which we can talk about a little bit, is kind of cool, but I don't know. It just doesn't have a lot going on.
Right.
Like, I mean, what was your take?
To just talk more about the original games instead of the remake, I don't really have a finger on the pulse of that. Like, I played Emerald after it came out a long time and didn't really have anything, any nostalgia or anything tied to the Sapphire or Rubies of that time. But I was going to ask you, is that the one where they introduced, like, the beauty contest and the berries?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, berries were in... No, berries were introduced in Generation 2.
But okay.
Yeah.
So Silver and Gold?
Silver and Gold had the berries. Okay. But the beauty contest
was in
the third
berries,
one, yes.
Man. I'm so sick of those berries.
I agree.
What is a berry?
18,000 button clicks to harvest something that I'm never going to actually use, but I'm compelled to do it, and then replant it for nobody except for me, because I'm an idiot.
Jamie, berries are hold items that you
Hot
can
trash.
Give your Pokemon. They're hold items that you can give your Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
Some of them, and they activate automatically. So some of them, like if you take a certain amount of damage, like if your health falls below half, they activate and they heal you by a certain amount, or they, if you get poisoned, they automatically heal your poison, or if you
Is there one if you fall asleep, it heals you from that?
Yep.
Because that makes sense.
They have newer ones. Yeah, I know. That's a good point, Griff. Oh, right. Actually, yes, there is one. Chestoberry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, there are other ones. There are newer ones. Like, if you get hit by an attack that's super effective against you, it changes it to just regular effectiveness and stuff like that. But the problem with berries is that you have to grow them and harvest them. And after you use them, they're gone for good. And it's really, really tedious.
That's too bad.
But that's not my biggest beef with that game, I feel like.
What's okay. your biggest beef?
What's yeah, it was okay, now we move are you moving on to the remake? The Omega and Alpha?
I'm just speaking inelegantly about the series, the original and the remake.
Okay.
I just feel like the only strength of the original Ruby and Sapphire were that they introduced interesting new mechanics which added more depth to the game. Like, I think giving every Pokemon an ability that, like I don't know if you guys remember, but when Ruby and Sapphire first came out, there were Pokemon that were literally just defined. Well, first of all, in the original games, you know, your Pokemon was like, oh, it was a psychic or it was a dragon or whatever else, and that was all it had going for it.
That's
much.
When, I mean, when things made sense.
It had stats, but that was it. Then Ruby and Sapphire come along, and you get Pokemon that are defined not just by their typing, but also by their ability, like Shedinja, for example, which is a Pokemon with the ability Wonder Guard, which means it actually doesn't take damage except from attacks that are super effective against it, but it only has one HP. So that kind of that concept for a Pokemon was never possible before the third generation. And there was also like Slaking, which every other turn it would loaf around and it wouldn't move. So there were all these weird kind of quirky new mechanics that were added in the third generation, and that was like all it had going for it. The map sucks. Mm-hmm. The story sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, the minute-to-minute gameplay isn't that exciting. The distribution of Pokemon on the routes isn't that great.
Nope, haven't caught a fire Pokemon. Well, one that actually is important. Five gyms in.
Yep. So yeah. So all that stuff sucks. But the abilities were really cool, and I think they helped give the series legs. I think they made it a much more interesting game.
Sure.
But now, when you remake the games, you're not adding the new abilities.
Yes.
It's just like, here's everything you didn't really like about the game without the wow factor of the new thing.
Uh-huh.
That's why I think it's not a good game.
I agree 100%.
Yes!
It just feels like a rehash and adds, like you said, the Dex Nav stuff is in it, which is kind of cool, I guess.
I would welcome it in the next game.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
but that's all.
When would Pokemon ever take anything out of a game? Come on.
Oh, no. Like the Pokewalker or Pokemon following behind you? They would never do that.
That's true. Pokewalker was weird, though.
It was weird.
Can I? So I want to walk you guys through my thought process just now when Jeff was talking about Pokemon. So like halfway into what he was saying, I was like, what if they made, like, you know how there's serial spinoffs where people just make fun of Sarah Koenig?
Yeah.
No, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, what if there was that? But it was just Jeff talking about Pokemon. Like, it was Jeff going down the rabbit hole, like trying to understand Pokemon is slowly going insane, and every episode he just talks faster and faster, and things just get more and more convoluted. And then I was like, excuse me, I was like, I don't even have to, like, we don't have to make that. I can probably just go back in our episodes and make that myself.
I think you have something there for sure, Jamie. Was it X and Y, Jeff, where some of the people, the dialogue in the game was just like horrifically depressing, and some of the NPCs were just insane.
Yes.
I think you could, like, there could be a podcast that's just like an expose on why, when you go to that cabin on route whatever between the volcano, that woman just perpetually wants you to take a nap forever.
No, it was a weird game, and it had a lot of strange loose ends which will probably never be resolved.
This is exactly like...
I know, it's perfect. It's an episode of Serial.
Yes. Amazing. That's a shame because it sold so well, and as someone who's kind of, you know... This is what I do whenever there's a new Pokemon game. I convince myself that it's going to be great. I get it, and then I feel the exact same way about it as I do for all the games, which is I don't dislike it, but It's too slow, and I always have the same complaints because they don't change the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know how this time around I managed to avoid picking it up.
Good work.
But as someone in my shoes, like looking at screenshots and stuff, it's like colorful and it kind of looks cool, and people are like gushing about it, and it sold 8 million copies, and it's just kind of a shame to hear that it's so. They really didn't do much to it, it sounds, besides update the graphics.
Well, I think this game, to their credit, I feel like people were demanding this game. Like, this game was something I don't even think they were really fully thinking about.
Wasn't there a fan remake that just kind of was completed in the last year or so of the the Ruby Sapphire?
Maybe. I don't know. There's always fan projects and remakes. They have great names.
Yeah, pretty big great one, though. Like it was reputable. For what I remember.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, they have great names like Pokemon Blaze White and Pokemon, I don't know, Turbo Black.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Those sound like graphics cards.
Yep. What was I going to say, though? There's some interesting stuff in interviews where essentially they say, like, we knew the fans really wanted this game, but we didn't really know what to do with it.
So we gave it to them.
Yeah, pretty much. That's if you read the interviews and you kind of read between the lines of kind of, you know, polite Japanese media speak, it just kind of sounds like they're like, I guess we'll make this.
That's amazing.
I also get the sense that Game Freak, like, just from like how they choose, like if you look at the Mega Evolutions, I'm going down the rabbit hole, they released, and like if you look at the weird... If you look at the weird plot threads they leave, like, not tied up, and the weird way in which they, like, distribute their exclusive Pokemon and stuff, I just get the sense they're kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, right.
You can come to GameStop and get a card for Dancy, maybe. It's like, okay, sure, I guess.
Chansey?
So, okay, the last distribution they had for an event Pokemon was as follows. And this might just be a Nintendo thing, because Nintendo is crazy about supply and demand. But it's, okay, you want this event Pokemon? Come to GameStop, and instead of hiding in the corner and downloading it like a normal person would ordinarily do, you have to go to the counter and ask for a card, which are available in incredibly limited supply, and you don't know when they're getting another one, and they run out immediately.
Wow.
And that's the people who get the event Pokemon. And every other time before that, it's been just downloaded in the store. It just feels like they're just like, I guess we'll do this now.
Well, so are you telling me that there's a Nintendo franchise out there that seems kind of aimless and ill-designed, yet people create a tournament scene around it and venerate it?
No, I'm not saying that two of those series released on the same day.
Well, guys, I think we could talk about that other game, the Smash Friends.
Captain Toad.
Crash Amigos.
I'm really excited for Captain Toad, guys. I'm a little bit disappointed that people were like kind of...
That's the best song ever.
That is a great song. I'm a little sad that people were a little bit wary about it when they were writing about it, but I'm still pumped.
Yeah. I don't think they're leery. I think that the consensus seems to be that for $40, you're not getting a whole lot, but whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
As a Wii owner, really pay anything for anything at this point.
I don't know. I feel like they've had that console's had an extremely strong showing.
Yeah, I agree. But I mean,
did you guys see the numbers on Smash Brothers, by the way?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it's sold 200,000, which is good. But Smash Brothers for 3DS sold 1.2 million in its first day.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Womp womp.
Why is everyone buying these amiibos then?
Install days.
Well, they're sitting around 200,000. I think everyone's just waiting for the GameCube adapter to come back in stock, honestly.
You buy them out, Jeff? You get them all?
Yeah. I'm hoarding all of them.
You're the guy selling them for hundreds of dollars on Amazon.
That picture I took, I've been waiting for weeks to send it.
Oh, look, I just got this.
This one, not 100.
I'm definitely not playing Skyrim with this.
I don't know if it works on PC yet. Go ahead. Sorry, Jamie.
I just have this vision of you playing Skyrim on your Wii U with your GameCube controller.
Well, who's to say that's not happening?
And you're blowing into something.
I contemplated trying to get and emulate the Donkey Konga drums.
Oh.
So I could play Donkey Konga, but I don't think it would necessarily work because I'm guessing the microphone wouldn't be supported. Somebody uploaded a video of using the Donkey Konga drums in Smash, but they don't quite work as well as Photoshop. So, Griff, you mentioned Smash Brothers. What do you think of that game?
I did. It's great. It's fun.
I agree.
You sound like just like 1 inch behind that very thin veil of happiness is just like a mountain of hatred.
Well, I just feel like it's a fun game. I'm having a lot of fun with it, but my thoughts on the competitive nature have already been expressed to Jeff while we're playing online.
Griffin told me that every character in Smash is the same, and that what was the other thing you said that was funny?
That's it. Yep.
Pretty much it. Yeah, they're all the same.
That's my point. Which you know, I say in jest. Like I mean. I'm starting to, the more that I play, the more I'm like, okay, so here's your archetype that's like, this is essentially like a charge character, but not a charge character because that doesn't exist. But like in the way that like a Street Fighter would have like different people that fall into different genres, like this
you're
has
using,
the same.
You're using the language you know to understand the language you don't.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm looking for it, right? Like I'm trying to say like, okay, well, maybe there is some legitimacy to this because if I play as... you know, this character, they share aspects with these other characters.
Hmm. It seems like you've gotten more into learning the characters and learning like movesets and stuff, Griff. Just from when I play with you, it seems like you've been kind of working at it, thinking about it.
I like playing it, you know? Yeah. I explored a lot of that game too, like the weird demo thing where you get the masterpiece collection. The mini challenges that are really bizarre where you can go in and like... it's like, oh, you're gonna play as Ganondorf, and you have to beat up all the women in the game.
Oh God,
that one's a little weird for sure.
Just curve stomp all the ladies with that move.
That's kind of one of the things you have to do.
Sorry, Jamie, you were gonna say a thing.
I was just gonna say in regards to Griffin's earlier comment. Since I've been playing, when I play with you guys, I just put it on random and just play whoever comes up. I would say that for a beginner, it seems like all the characters share a lot of similarities, but that's almost good. Like, because it's not restrictive in that way. Mm, I know that no matter who I play, pretty much, except for maybe Olimar, if I do a smash attack, it will do a fairly larger amount of damage, you know? Like, and that kind of ties it all together. And then if you really want to go down the rabbit hole, you can figure out how to use... the little star guy that space princess has and things like that. But you don't have to.
Jamie, your love for the Super Mario is not showing right now.
No, it's not. And you know what's sad is Galaxy 2 is my favorite Mario game.
You're merely calling him an acquaintance right now.
I know. I forget that lady's name. What's her name?
Rosalina. Yeah. That's also that is the best Mario game.
Oh, sure.
Griffin, I know you don't like Galaxy.
No, Mario World is the best Mario game, easily.
I guess, yeah. Handily. I mean, it's really good, and it has a lot of levels. No, but Galaxy 2 has a ton of levels too. It's a tough call.
Sure.
I think if we're gonna say that some Mario game is the best Mario game, then that has to be the Mario game that I designed in second grade.
Okay. Go on.
Combination of Sonic and Mario.
You mean Mario?
At the Olympics?
Where you basically played Sonic levels, but you looked like Mario.
Huh. Did you do that in HyperCard Studio?
No, I did it. I did it in Hyper Pencil and Paper Studio.
Oh. Was HyperCard Studio that thing that we all had on our crappy Macs in elementary school?
Yeah.
That I think I like begged my mom to buy a student license for and couldn't. Literally couldn't wrap my brain around.
Yes.
Yep. All it was a slideshow that you could put clickable buttons in.
Yep.
It was so cool to me, though.
It was so
cool.
Oh,
my God.
I mean, so many Star Wars text adventures.
I smell a Kickstarter. People our age being nostalgic for something.
Oh, we could totally capitalize on that.
Yes.
Let's call it PowerPoint throwback.
Yes. Hey guys, remember HyperCard Studio? We're gonna make a game in it.
It's essentially like Minecraft, but with just blank pages.
We need $500,000. We know it's a lot, but we're committed to quality.
None of us know anything about
those potato salad guys.
I'm a potato salad man. So Smash Bros. I agree with Jamie. I think it's nice for beginners to know that if you hit up B, you're probably going to have a recovery. Like, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think go ahead, Griff. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, Nintendo does a lot of really awesome things to bring people into games that necessarily aren't going to play a genre. For example, fighting games with Smash and whatnot. I think that one thing that they definitely, that every fighting game still continues to fail at is having a tutorial. And this, I was kind of hoping that Nintendo might be the one that's like, hey, this is how we did it. We made a way to teach you how to play a fighting game and in a way that only Nintendo can, but that's totally
listen,
not there.
High level strategy doesn't exist. It's not real. No,
you're absolutely
To Nintendo, it doesn't exist.
Right, yeah.
What is this high-level strategy you're talking about?
It doesn't even need to be high-level. I'm just saying, like, hey, you could press up B to do a thing. This might help you recover.
Well, actually, if you... They hit it poorly, but if you wait after the title screen plays the opening video, they show a goofy little video of Mario and Bowser fighting, and they teach you all the buttons.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch that.
And it's I think you'll like it, Griffin. It's a cute little video.
Okay. I'm going to go watch it.
So that's a thing.
Great. Well, yeah. They nailed it. Perfect. Everything, I just take it all back.
Well, they should put it in a place that's more visible, but they don't.
Right.
I feel like the game, it just kind of dumps you into the menu, and the menu is like the biggest mess of all time.
Ugh. Yep. How do you play online?
Well, that one's actually that's bad too. They're all bad.
How do you play Smash mode? How do you do the story
the
mode?
Campaign mode? Yeah, where the campaign mode is so hidden.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that was a problem with the 3DS version too. They both have messy menus.
Yeah,
it's kind of a Sakurai thing.
Yeah, seems that way.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm having a lot of fun with it though. I really like playing with you guys.
Yes, it is a lot of fun.
Shannon enjoys playing, but only when there's four of us so that Jeff can't see what she's doing all the time. And just negate everything that she does.
I kept telling her I was punishing her, which became a point of contention. I felt really bad about that.
No, you don't feel bad.
You gotta go easy on them or else they just never come back.
I don't want to ruin someone's enjoyment, but I am like almost incapable of holding back.
This speaks to like the mastery of these Nintendo parties, but still competitive games. It's like, yes, Shannon can kill Jeff sometimes, but most of the time Jeff is going to win. Like, and yes. I feel like that's the perfect balance for these games. You have to make it so that the people who have never played before can jump in and feel like they did cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And yet, They have to make it so that the dude who plays it every day and puts a lot of time in can consistently feel like he's getting something back. And I feel like no other games besides Nintendo games do that. Like you cannot play Street Fighter. Like someone can't pick up Street Fighter and play someone who plays a lot and ever win. Ever, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
not a knock against Street Fighter. Street Fighter is an excellent game. But,
you know what game also nails that balance really well, though? Dota 2.
Gangi.
Sorry, go ahead, Jamie. You were saying a thing about Street Fighter.
No, I love Street Fighter. I'm just saying that, they kind of have cornered this market. The only other one of games like this that I could think of was Power Stone, where it didn't matter how many hours Tom Clayton had put into Power Stone, I could jump in sometimes and kick his butt. And it was fun, but mostly he would win.
Isn't that kind of like the antithesis of what people speak highly about the Smash games for, though? Like, isn't that what really ruined Brawl for a lot of people, where there's like random elements involved?
Well, Griff, I think if you turn off the items, then that kind of goes away. But I think what Jamie is saying is, like, there is a mode that is kind of front and center where that happens. The cool thing about, I think the reason Smash became, like, had a tournament presence is because, unlike Mario Kart, like Mario Kart kind of hinges on the items. If it was just the racer, it would be really boring. Smash, when you take the items away, for people who are competitive, it actually is really fun. And in fact, for them, it might become more fun. So Smash is that rare game that I think it has that kind of party mode that Jamie described, where the competitive player can feel good about winning, but also people can have come from behind victories sometimes, you know, even if they kind of suck. But it also has, you know, in addition to that, it has that kind of more purely competitive mode. I think the problem with Brawl was it was like, no, you can't have that mode anymore. We're taking that away from you.
Yeah.
Also, it just felt a little flatter. There wasn't as much. I mean, okay, yeah, all the problems with Brawl were for the higher end of the scene, I think, probably.
Right.
But yeah, I think that it has what Jamie said, but it also does have an area where you can say, no, I don't want that stuff. And that, I think that's a testament to the fact that that developer likes to give people that level of control. I don't think he likes to do that so they can be competitive. He just likes to do that because he's weird like that. And that So go ahead, Jamie.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was just going to say another game, maybe like the only other non-Nintendo game that I can think of right now that does it as well is Towerfall, because in Towerfall, Shannon can jump in and get some kills, but if my other friend who's extremely competitive gets really angry, we can go in and turn off the compensatory shield you get for being bad. You know, like you can tweak it so that you can cater to the competitive, you know, sentiments of whoever may be playing the game. If it's a bunch of beginners, it's still going to be fun, but if it's two people who really love Towerfall, play it all the time, then you can change the rules and make it so that it's more fair. And I feel like that's what this game. That's why this game is so successful, because it has both.
Mm-hmm. So tweak ability is good.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Right. I mean, it would be nice. There was actually the 3DS version of Street Fighter 4 had something really weird where you could map button combinations and special moves to the touchscreen. So yes. Kind of thinking in that same line there, where it's like, okay, what's one of the hardest things to get into a fighting game? Like Street Fighter, well, it's just the darn input of stuff. Well, here's that gone now. You can just press a button and you're doing your thing. So, but I think that failed because that didn't add an element of like easy approachability that made the game more fun. It just removed the barrier at like a competitive level.
Yeah, and it's interesting that's a really interesting comparison, because it's almost like the exact opposite of what these games are doing, because Street Fighter 4 starts out being super. I mean, one of the great things about Street Fighter 4 is actually you can pick it up and kind of get it at first, but you know it really does reward people who put a lot of time in. And what they did for that version, it sounds like, I didn't play it, is that they're making it easier. Whereas with that mode, whereas Smash and Towerfall start out easier. And then if you want, you remove those layers of chance.
Well, I think Griff is also saying that there's no mode in Street Fighter where you can make it chaotic.
Right. Like there's no party Street Fighter mode.
You can remove barriers, which sounds nice to me, but I would probably want to be more competitive. I wouldn't play Street Fighter and kind of, like, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not crazy, but I wouldn't play Street Fighter as like a party game per se. I would want to like kind of try to get good. But like for someone who just wanted, like for Shannon, who like just kind of wants to jump and have a good time, you know, and then maybe not play again for months or something or whatever, there's not really an opportunity for her to do anything. I guess like being able to do those moves would be nice, but she'd still get completely stomped by anyone else. And part of that, I think, is just the 1v1 format.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I was saying before. Like, because Griffin, when we played without you, it was just murder. But I feel like if there's four people on screen, you just can't account for everything that's going on, which allows newcomers to feel like they're like participating and having fun.
Word. I think Smash, yes. So not to dwell on Smash too long, but I think it's great. I think it looks cute. It's very graphically impressive. Do you have any closing remarks on it, Jeff?
Levels are kind of boring. New items are kind of boring.
You can make your own levels. I did. And then I fell into my own trap.
I remember that.
I made a level where there is a spring, and the spring goes directly into a thing of lava, and you just keep bouncing back and forth until you die. And I tried to lure Jeff into the spring, but then I fell into the spring.
Excellent. You guys buy some of those amiibos too, right? To go along and complement your Smash Bros. Wii U experience.
I got 6 of them.
Make good use of that NFP, as you both so strongly think was real.
No, I didn't. You bring this back. I didn't think that was the final name. I just thought it was a real thing that was happening, and it did happen.
Yeah. I thought we were beyond that. I keep seeing that term.
Nintendo figure platform. It's not real.
Watch dogs.
Can we revisit every argument? Hey, Jeff, refresh rate. Stutter.
You know
Let's
what?
Let's go back to that one.
With how much judder does it have?
We can talk about refresh rates and stutter. I would totally engage about that.
No, you won that one. I there's no contest there. But I was just saying we could revisit all of our.
Oh goodness. I was gonna say another thing about Smash, I think.
Okay.
Closing thoughts I think on Smash? The levels kinda suck for me. They're not that great. And the other thing kinda sucks, but it just feels so good. I don't even care.
I kind of feel the opposite way, but I feel like that may be because I missed out on whatever the Wii iteration of this game had to offer.
I think so.
I kind of like the levels, but I guess I'm not a series fan, and I haven't. Would you say, Jeff, that the Wii levels were like the ones that you're thinking of when you say the levels are boring?
Wii levels were, I think some of the Wii levels were good. It doesn't really innovate in the level.
Gotcha.
Front, I guess. And I think my attention's been divided, so I haven't really given it like a fair shake. But
isn't everybody just
really
playing
on
Final
me.
Destination anyway? Why do you even need other levels?
Yeah, seriously. A lot of great Final Destination version backgrounds.
I do like that. I do like that, honestly.
I do like that, too. That's really nice. It makes Final Destination feel more fun. For what it's worth.
For sure.
But anyway. You guys have other stuff?
I bought some amiibos.
How many do you have?
I have 3.
Jamie, we've both won and lost.
Yeah. All at once.
I think we lost. I think we both lost.
Do you guys? How many do you have? 5? 8?
We both have 6. I
we
guess
we both have 6. Yeah.
Ugh.
Did you get more, Jamie?
No. I have still in the box for stupid reasons.
Okay.
For reasons that are just like even to me are just astounding. I have Villager Marth and Wii Fit Trainer, and then sitting on my desk, I have Pikachu, Mario, and Yoshi.
I think Marth is probably potentially worth keeping in the box because I think he might be the rarest.
Yeah.
For what it's worth. Although it's pretty dumb.
You're probably going to get you'll probably make like a $4 return on that bad boy in like 10 years.
Yeah.
Jamie, I almost do the same thing. So while I say it's dumb, I completely understand.
Well, I had to force myself to throw out the boxes after I opened them because that was... What, they're just such nice packages. I didn't want to get rid of them. Like they look good. It's like a big flat square, visible little encasement for it, and it's a nice little blister pack or blister card on the back.
Griffin, what are you going to do with the double arm cannon Samus that you purchased?
Well, I'm going to turn it and then pay off my mortgage.
That went for $2,500.
Yep.
Did you see that the peach without legs is trading right now for $3,500?
Oh, I have not seen the peach without legs yet, but it sounds very ironic.
I love it that Nintendo is like, yeah, we're gonna have variants exclusive to retailers, and they don't make good on it, and instead people are just trying these factory defect things that they're like, this is the hottest item out there.
Well, there are actually going to be a couple exclusive. I think Shulk is GameStop and Meta Knight is Best Buy or something.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. I'll probably get Shulk just because he probably will only have a few.
Yeah.
And I actually like Xenoblade.
Actually, what's probably going to happen is Shulk is all going to sell out, and then mysteriously GameStop is going to find all these extra Shulks in the back room and start selling them as used copies for over $100 per Xenoblade. I mean, Shulk.
It'll be the original packaging, except somebody will have cut a corner off of the cardboard top part of the top and call it used.
He's missing an ear, I think. In the used version, he's just not really feeling it.
Amazing.
Oh, gosh. Gotta always play Swimsuit Shulk. Always.
Oh, I didn't even know that was an option.
It's an option.
That's great.
Oh, boy, is it an option.
You think they'll ever make more amiibos? Or after they complete the cast of Smash Bros., you think this is done?
Nintendo France, I think, said that they were anticipating selling 200,000 amiibo worldwide this year, which is pretty good,
yeah.
Honestly.
That's great.
So, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't see amiibo having legs, but hey, let's get all those Nintendo figures.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
But I don't know.
People still trying to figure out how to use that in the game, just like Nintendo.
better to get into the subway than to
mm-hmm.
do the game.
I'm probably going to buy more just because I feel like I was really down on them for a while because we saw some early shots and they looked like crap, but I keep seeing Donkey Kong and Fox in the store and they look so good. I just want them.
It's because Fox is so good looking.
You should get Fox.
Join Club Fox.
Fire! Uh-oh. What does he say?
I think we lost Jeff.
No!
He says fire. He says, you're fired. My name
Why
is Fox.
Why does he say that?
Because he owns a massive conglomerate of hotel chains, and then he brings on other contenders in the Smashverse and has them compete against each other to see which will be the most successful in the business world.
Why you're not an idea man for Adult Swim boggles my mind. Because that would be incredible.
So did you say you were thinking about getting more besides what's his name? Fox and Kong?
I want those two. Those are the more.
Those are the more.
I may and I wouldn't keep them in box. I just think they're so cool. I literally like having them next to me at my desk while I work.
Oh, nice.
Hey, sorry about that. Hey. I think my iPad ran out of memory.
No problem.
Memory. You need to upgrade.
It likes to randomly just close out of... It's like, oh, you're done talking now.
Why don't you buy an iPad Air 2?
You've had enough,
gold...
sir.
With champagne?
Champagne.
I don't know. Did you guys hear me hate on Donkey Kong? I don't like all things Nintendo, I swear.
No, we did not. You were gone at that point.
So Iwata silenced me.
The microphone on your Wiimote was... Whoa.
Hold on. There we go. Somehow my phone turned on the video call too.
You're drunk.
Yes. Drunk on my heated blanket. Yeah, Donkey Kong's lame. That's all. The amiibo's awesome, but I'm not a huge Donkey Kong fan in general.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like the character very much. I like the games affiliated with him. I don't like the character.
But does he have the tie on in the figure?
Yeah.
He does?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, the figure looks great.
Did anybody buy that Link to try and discover what the hell that mysterious tub girl liquid coming out of his shorts is?
I did not. I'm waiting for Toon Link.
Oh, good call, yeah.
Yeah, Toon Link looks freaking baller, man.
Yeah, finally, something you can get off to.
Yeah. Now Toon I can get into.
Did you guys know at Target you can pay $4 per amiibo for a 2-year replacement plan?
Oh, nice.
Oh, no.
Oh no. In 2 years, I don't think Target will have any amiibos at all.
Nope.
It'll be lost to society.
It's called product essentials. Definitely can't buy the amiibo without this protection plan.
Oh no. I like to insure my Blu-ray discs.
Just in case they get rotten.
All of them. Disc rot.
No!
There's a thread every couple months on NeoGAF about disc rot.
Oh, I hate those. They make me so sad.
There was the best NeoGAF that today. There was a guy who was like, irate that the trophies for Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris are different on PSN than they are on Xbox and PC. He was
Achievos.
He was furious. And he was like, I don't even want to play the game anymore. It was dumb.
Well, that seems logical.
That seems like the internet.
You were on a video game forum.
Yeah. Well, speaking of trolls and flame and disagreements, we've made it to the part of the podcast where undoubtedly there will be some conflict. Let's talk about Dragon Age, the boring, shitty game. I mean, 3.
Drop dead.
Griffin, your transitions are just on fire tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really know how to reach the subject. Damn it,
Halo?
Doesn't work.
What?
Do you want to talk about Halo Reach?
There's a breach between us. I'm trying to use the word breach because this is breach.
Oh, okay.
That's all.
Oh, okay. I thought you said reach.
Just give me a reach around, please.
Like Halo Reach. Cortana.
Griffin, why is that game bad? Explain to me why it's bad.
I don't think it's bad. I never said it's bad. It's just boring for me, personally, as a human man.
Okay.
But if you were a dog.
If I was a dog man, I'd be way into all those colors.
It is pretty. I think that when I look at it, like up close, it kind of looks bad. But then when I look at it far away, it looks amazing.
Agreed.
I'll just get this quick out of the way and let you guys go for it. This is my background. I played one about two-thirds of the way through it. Kind of got bored. Well, not bored. I should say maybe just hit a wall. Two, I really liked the second game, and I'm the only person in the world that might feel that way, even though it had one of the worst endings to a video game ever and didn't make any sense and had some technical issues. But then going to this game, it just kind of went back into the vein of the first game, but not in a way that I enjoyed. Like, it has that Skyrim open-ended, like, let's go do everything anywhere. And it was just, like, that front-loaded openness, open-world kind of vibe just made me disinterested immediately.
Did you leave the hinterlands?
I went back to the castle.
Have to go to other places.
How?
So I actually just played Skyrim last night, and in comparison between the two games, I feel like one thing that Dragon Age Inquisition does really well is, whereas Skyrim literally does just lay the whole world at your feet and just say, go do it, and no direction whatsoever, and it can be really overwhelming. This game, I feel like with the war room and the various missions that you send your people on, and the points you spend to unlock new areas, I feel like it kind of masters the slow drip of opening up new areas, but at the same time, like, letting you do it in your own way. Like, there is a ton to do, but it's not gonna let you do it all at once from the beginning. You have to unlock these things.
So I totally agree, Jamie, with you. I'm gonna go ahead and say that a lot of the stuff in that game, which I am unabashedly enjoying doing, is not, like, good. Like, a lot of, especially the hinterland stuff, like, those are not good quests. Like, they're just quests.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there.
Yeah.
Ride your horse through these things.
Those are the worst. That's why you need to leave the hinterlands, Griffin, because not only is the hinterlands the biggest area, mm-hmm. to its detriment, honestly, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. its detriment,
It's also like kind of the blandest in terms of quest design. I mean, they all have their share of kind of dumb filler. And unfortunately, for the way the game works, you kind of have to like it because you have to earn points to unlock more shit somehow. Mm-hmm. But once you unlock more shit, you get new exciting experiences. You get story, which is good. You get characters which aren't just the first four characters. And again, you can say they front-loaded the game with boring, which is a fair assessment because the first core characters aren't that great. But nope. you get the lady archer elf. Did you get that lady, Jamie?
Yeah, she's awesome. She's like definitely the one of the best characters in an RPG I've seen in a while.
Wow. Yep, I like her a lot. She's really good.
She's basically like 4chan the RPG character.
Yeah. What? But not. Yeah, she's good. She's good.
Wait, is she like making like ironic winks and nods at the camera?
No, not in that way. Just in like the sociopathic, anarchistic way.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Plus, you indirectly get an item from her called Too Many Breaches, which is just stacks of soldiers' pants. Anyway, yeah, no, she's great. Do you have Dorian, Jamie?
No, not yet. I have her, and I got the fashion model, and I got Iron Bull.
They're all cool. All of them are cool.
Yeah.
Freddie Prinze Jr. is in it, Griffin? Freddie Prinze Jr.?
He's Iron Bull, right?
Yep, he's Iron Bull. The Canary in general, or at least this guy, seems pretty cool.
Yeah, I think they're probably the most interesting sub-story in the game, and they're a race, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just pretty much like a bro, like a decent bro. I'm into him.
I see Freddie Prinze really branching out from his previous character in the other BioWare game he was in.
I like him though. He's in my main party, and then Dorian's my other character. Dorian's just like a sarcastic mage. He's good too. I like him too. And then there is another character whom you don't have, Jamie, yet, called Cole, and he's really interesting. I see a lot of potential with him. He's not a race or a character that you would have seen before, which is kind of spoilery, but he's cool. I mean,
he's a Pokemon.
He's a Bulbasaur. I don't want to play him up too much, but he seems like he has a lot of
potential. You can't oversell this game because I'm already head over heels with it. So, yeah.
In also, comparison to the best Dragon Age character, Shulk. No, Shulk. No, silly. It's Slate or Shale or something like that.
Slater?
I think it was Shale.
This is my first Dragon Age
game. Okay, so. Okay.
AC Slater.
Shale, if that is the correct name, was a downloadable character in the first game that was a statue that came to life and was easily the best in an RPG in a long time.
That's really cool. This guy's cool too.
Okay.
It's both of you intrigue me for different reasons because I loved all three Mass Effect games. Mm-hmm. And this to me, I see a lot of that in this. So it astounds me that both of you, it astounds me that you, Griff, don't like it because you liked Mass Effect. And it astounds me that, Jeff, you like it and you don't like Mass Effect.
Mass Effect had terrible combat. This game has slightly better combat.
I disagree. I think Mass Effect had just fine combat.
Yeah. I mean, I my biggest problem with specifically Mass Effect 2 is just how amazingly
good that game was. And
terribly bland the combat and environments are.
No,
that's not true.
It's lying.
Yeah.
But I do see where you're coming from with the combat, Jeff, but it's just in so many other ways, it almost feels the same.
It feels similar, but I feel like the veil is like not drawn back as much on certain things that are like critical to me. Like, for example, there is no renegade and paragon meter.
Uh-huh.
That makes me very happy because that I can't relate to that. Like, that just makes me, it just, something in that just doesn't click with me. It's very immersion breaking. Sure. I think also, this is stupid, but jumping is wonderful. Jumping makes me feel so much more connected to that world. It's right. Really stupid, but
maybe
it does.
Just third person. Well, again, no, you could be third person in the other. Yeah, I'm being stupid. My bad.
No, it's okay. I don't know what else. I think maybe I was just ready to play a game like this. But
Jeff, when you were engaging in the combat, do you do a lot of the pause and then micromanage the action?
Oh, God, no.
God, no. Okay, interesting. All right.
Yeah.
It seems pretty – it's not well designed.
Neither do I.
In the first Mass Effect, which I played about, let's say, an hour of and was having fun with, more so than I was having fun with the second one, which I know is kind of a strange opinion to have. I liked pausing in that game.
Yep.
I didn't get to the story stuff in the first one, really. I just played like the beginning mission where like, oh, your comrades were killed or whatever.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
I paused all the time in Mass Effect and I haven't paused once in this game.
Yeah. See, I got out of the pausing in Dragon Age 2 because that's why I enjoyed like the more just beat 'em up, brawly,
yeah,
rush forward and don't think about it. And it created more possibilities because you could micromanage your team so well with like the Final Fantasy 12 kind of gambits, I think is what they're called. But you could like give them logical direction. And then I have a feeling that was removed from 2 or at least wasn't prevalent enough to be useful.
It's back in 3, the gambits and the pausing, although apparently the pausing is not that well regarded. Apparently it's kind of hard to use. In the third one. Apparently there's some issues with like, well, I couldn't like make heads or tails of it. It felt really awkward. It's not as well designed as like FFT or something. And I've also read that the camera angle's weird and some other stuff about it that's weird. But the other thing that apparently isn't as good is apparently the AI for your characters isn't so great with the gambits, but I've never had a problem with that, and I'm playing on hard. So I don't know.
I had an issue that I might have been attributable to the AI that I fixed with the gambits. My tank Cassandra kept dying before she could use a potion, or sometimes like right about as she was to use a potion. So I just went into her character and I told her, instead of waiting until your health gets down to this, like I bumped it up a little and then she stopped dying.
Good.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That was actually one of the other things that I didn't like, and for no good reason except that it's just different, is not having heal spells
as
it being only a potion centric thing. Like I can understand the design choice of that, so now you don't have to carry around a healer all the time, but you know, it's a fantasy game. It seems kind of weird that you're just chugging these things all the time and you're not like,
so I'm what did you roll, Griff?
Sword warrior.
Oh, okay.
Warrior.
I'm a mage, which I actually want to talk about for a few seconds because there's a couple thoughts I have. But,
no.
But I wanted to respond to that by saying that with the mage, you have 4 skill trees. 3 of them are like fire, ice, and lightning. And then the other one is basically like protective and healing.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of straddling the line between the protective and healing one and the fire one. And I feel like it's working out really well because I do have recourse other than the potions.
It's limited.
It's really powerful actually though, what they offer, like especially if you so this plays into what the other thing I was going to say
it,
about
is it any up. Different tree than elf Mr. Clean?
Elf Mr. Clean? Oh, Solus.
Yeah.
No,
the same.
The variance only occurs after they hit level 10, Griff.
Okay.
Then you get specializations.
Gotcha.
Each character has their own, and you get to choose your own based on your class. Okay.
I did not know that. But if you're playing, like, I don't bounce between characters all that much. I assume that you guys don't either.
I do a little bit, but not much.
Yeah, like, I mainly sit on my person, because that's what I chose to roll. That's what I was in the mood to play as.
Yeah.
And so if you're a mage, most of the time, what you realize is you're hanging back with maybe your other ranged characters. Like I put an archer in there, so I'm usually hanging back with her. And the second that a mob breaks away from my tanks, I can throw down like protective spells. I can make other barriers to make sure that like those weaker players that are hanging around with me, like I can make sure ahead of time that we're good. I can like, and I can do other things, and it feels pretty empowering. And so there's that in terms of the healing. And I was also going to say just kind of as another point, it's really weird to start a battle because I play myself and then just like hang back and all the enemies are really, really tiny because my tanks have run up like 50 yards ahead of me and I'm just standing like literally like really, really far away, like lobbing. Yeah. And at first it was really jarring and I hated it. And now I've kind of come to like really appreciate it. And it's kind of a unique experience that I can't remember having in anything other than like old school MMOs like Dauk when I used to play Wizard. And I'd literally have to position myself to the point where I couldn't even like see what I was doing, but just trust that my spells were hitting and that I put myself so far away that I wouldn't get hit. And it's kind of cool. I feel like I haven't played a game like that in a while.
It's funny because I'm playing a rogue and I literally have an ability called Long Shot, which does more damage the farther away you are from a target. So I have the same interesting affliction, but I like it. I like it a lot, actually.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, I'm playing on hard difficulty and I found those potions a couple things. First of all, you burn through those potions real quick, so it's not like a crutch. Not at all. At least not on the higher difficulties. Second of all, there are a lot of ways not to heal your health, I'm remembering, but to, like, buff your health, like, mm-hmm. through the guard mechanic.
Yeah.
Or through the barrier mechanic, which your warrior or your mage can respectively set. Mm-hmm. So even though you might not be able to fill up your green bar, you'll be able to put, like, a blue bar or a gray bar over it, which functions much in the same way. And it kind of makes your health feel that much more precious when your potions are gone. Because you're like, oh shit! Like, what am I gonna do now? And yeah. it's kind of a cool place to be, honestly. It kind of forces you to kind of play panicked and like, you know, either be really conservative or go all out. It creates an interesting situation, I feel.
One thing that is kind of annoying to me is I don't like venturing out into an area and then having to turn back to get more potions because I'm a very conservative player, and like I'm the kind of guy that's like in. I'm the kind of guy that's, oh, God damn it, I can't even remember it. Souls, all those games, just running back to the campfire whenever, because I'm terrified. So it's like, I'm the guy who keeps running back to the camp to refill my potions. That kind of gets a little tiring. Wait, at the same time...
Do you know what? You can fast travel to those camps, Jamie?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, okay. You can fast travel to those, and also I feel like they're pretty well dispersed throughout the map, so it's not a huge concern.
It does come up though. Sometimes, especially if you go to like a higher level area and you just burn through all your potions and you're like, wow, I barely went anywhere.
Yeah.
That kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can understand disliking it from like a taste perspective, but it definitely doesn't make the game easy. Mm-hmm. Not by a long shot.
Right. I agree. It just seems weird to me, you know, having played the other games where you have healers. And that never kind of being it's oh, we put a ban on healing magic. Guess nobody's a healer anymore. Like that.
Did they say? Is that the reason?
No. But just like having that being a thing in the game, and then it not is just kind of weird.
You can les out with up to three people.
I'm doing it with everyone. I just flirt with everyone.
Nice. Mm. I'm flirting with Sarah.
Only one.
Yeah, I don't really.
Wait, which one's Sarah?
The archer.
Who?
The archer elf lady. 4chan.
Oh, I thought her name was Jenny. I guess it's Sarah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Sarah. And I'm flirting with Josephine a little bit.
Is Felicia Day in this game?
No. And also just Blackwall because it's funny. Oh, and also Solas, I guess.
Not Iron Bull?
No, I decided not to. I thought about it.
I'm flirting with him so hard. He's like 6 feet taller than me. It's gonna happen.
Is there like character specific quests, Jamie? In Mass Effect 2, you know, you had the loyalty quest where you're like gonna go out and do something that's specific to this character. Okay.
Yes. Is that a good or a bad thing?
That's great. No, I mean because I like the characters of those games. And the fact that they're doing that in this game as well seems like a good decision.
Why can't the lady from Chuck be in every game?
What's that?
Why can't the lady from Chuck be in every game?
Could it just be her like perfectly modeled batute in every game?
Wait, who did she play?
In two, she was
Miranda.
And three, she was yeah.
Oh, that lady.
With
yeah,
a, yeah, terribly terrifying facial capture and booty capture.
Yeah.
Yep. That was a turnoff for that game for me, actually.
What I love about all BioWare games, including Dragon Age, is that you know, like, the characters' faces become angry, like, years before they actually deliver the line.
So, wait, something else I like about Dragon Age, by the way, I like how the only metric that you're informed about is whether or not characters approve of your actions.
Yes, that's the only one.
I actually genuinely like it, even though it's kind of hilarious and stupid at the same
time.
Oh,
Jeff, have you been hitting any crazy awesome glitches like I have been?
I started dancing in place at one point. Like, nice. I entered a jump animation on the ground, and I've had a couple crashes. Nothing awful,
wow.
Though. Oh, I had one where I was caught in a conversation where a dude was just staring at me for like 5 minutes. But what did you get?
Yeah. Oh, I've had that one that you said last. I haven't had any hard crashes. Everything's worked itself out in a couple seconds. But I keep getting this hilarious bug where I will walk near an NPC, and then that NPC, without any walking animation, will slowly and then at like rocket speed just like ricochet straight towards a wall.
No.
Yeah.
I wish I've had that one.
Are you not why are you not sharing those on YouTube?
I thought about sharing myself, actually.
I'll record the next time this happens, because it happens with some frequency, especially with the blacksmith guy. Like, I'll walk near him and then he just like starts hovering slowly and just shoots towards the castle.
I saw a lady walking into the sky, but wait, Jamie, haven't gotten to the... Where are you exactly in the Inquisitor's path?
I got Iron Bull.
So you're like nowhere?
Yep.
Okay. Just checking.
Jamie, did you get out of the Hinterlands?
I did get out of the Hinterlands, which was a great idea.
Huh.
All the other areas are much smaller and much more like level-ish.
And they
I
even,
feel like...
Yeah, they have like more of a cohesive... In all of the other areas of the game, there's like some side story going on in that area, and like the level design of the area kind of mirrors that story, mm-hmm. and they're just a lot more compelling.
I still like the Hinterlands.
Yeah, it's fine. I rode my horse. I finished all those goddamn horse riding quests.
Yep, so did I. They were so bad. The horse riding animation is the worst.
And the horse travels at 2 miles per hour.
It's so funny.
The Down syndrome horse.
I was laughing my ass off. Jessica and I were watching it together, and we were like, what the hell is wrong with this horse? It like runs, but it doesn't, the body doesn't move enough. It
nope.
just like, it seesaws ever so slightly.
It's like a mechanical bull, but a horse.
So bad. I was also going to say, I like that, I like, this is kind of stupid, but I like that, Sarah looks really homey. Homely? Homely? Homely.
You're so weird. I love you.
Sarah's my homie?
No, homely. That's the word, right?
Yeah.
I like that all the characters look kind of weird.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel, you. I like how my character, like, I designed her to look a specific way. And then whenever,
totally different in the game.
Yeah, totally different in the game. And whenever she changes her facial expression, it's like the most terrifying thing.
Speaking of terrifying things, have you guys seen that Smash Brothers glitch the dude had where I think it was something wrong with the graphics card in his Wii U, but the characters would be... The 3D model wouldn't be filled out. It would just be a flat picture inside of the model.
Whoa.
It was so good.
That's amazing.
I'm going to send it to you guys.
Well, speaking of graphical glitches, I played through Assassin's Creed Unity and finished the game.
That's terrible.
Did you see the eyes, the floating eyes?
I didn't, no. I thought that was a PC-only situation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or like a pre-patched thing or something like that.
I'm so sad.
Griffin and I played a co-op mission in that game that was like the most loathsome time of my life.
didn't they remove the best part of that game, which is the multiplayer that you and I played, Jamie?
Wait, you and I played multiplayer?
In Black Flag?
In Black Flag.
Competitive multiplayer?
I heard they removed that.
Did they? I don't know.
It's possible that there's like a mission that you could enter that would be the case. But yeah, as far as I know, there's not something that you can load up that's like, I'm going to play online now with this
what
cool
a
mode.
Train wreck.
Yeah.
Worst game of all time.
No, I mean, it's, that wouldn't go that far, but it's a bummer.
It's beautiful.
Uh-huh. Those crowds are pretty enormous.
Yeah. It's just like, I feel like too many cooks in the kitchen.
Totally, yeah.
Too many cooks might spoil the broth.
Yeah.
Too many cooks, too many cooks.
I don't really have much to say, but yeah, I did my due diligence. We played an online co-op game. It was really boring.
Yeah.
Much like all of the other missions. And Jamie, you did some of the investigation things, right? Where it's like...
Yeah, I did. Those were cool. That was probably the best idea the best new idea they put forward in my mind. Mm-hmm. But it was still the execution was extraordinarily shallow.
Yeah.
That's so unfortunate.
Yep. It's just like a fetch quest, essentially.
Yeah.
Why is this what Ubisoft just seems to be becoming in certain parts of their development, I guess?
Well, hey guys, maybe it'll be a different, they'll really shake things up with Assassin's Creed 2015 when you're in London. What is that?
Assassin's Creed 15, this game is back.
What is the, what's the location? Like, it's like Industrial Revolution London or something like that. What is it?
Sure.
Victorian London, there we go. Yeah, Jack the Ripper. There you go.
I'm just waiting for Ass Creed, like, South Africa in 1993. That's what I want. I want apartheid.
How about Ass Creed Ebola?
Yeah.
I just sent you guys the glitch. Oh, just so good.
Not much to say on Assassin's Creed Unity, though, because I just probably don't play it. It's not great.
Yeah.
It's a really boring story.
That's very sad.
I'm watching the glitch, like, oh my god. Yeah, Assassin's Creed was terrible. It made me want to play all of the games that do all the things that it does better. Like, it made me want to play Batman. It made me want to play other Assassin's Creed games. Yeah. It made me want to play Tomb Raider.
That's the same feeling I got from Watch Dogs. It's like, wow, this is a shadow of every other game that's trying to imitate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But that's why I feel like Ubisoft is in their edge or something.
Yeah, well, on, I mean, sorry. Having not played Far Cry 4, but it definitely, from everything that I've seen and read about it, it just seems like more Far Cry 3, which may not be a bad thing. It's just Far Cry 3 was so, like, revolutionary for Far Cry, and then having this should be more of the same, I don't think that was great. I don't think this is a great trend for you, Ubisoft.
Yeah,
I heard it has more tribal boobies and a tribal penis.
Great, yeah, yep, I've seen it.
Wonderful.
Just make more blood dragons. That's what we need more of.
Yep.
Is there a white savior in Blood Dragon?
Yeah. His name is Rex Colt.
But it's tongue-in-cheek, so it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's okay to have a white savior if you're tongue-in-cheek about it.
He's a cyborg, so he's extra white.
He's...
I don't know.
Space gray.
Anything else you guys play? It's been a while, so there's probably some stuff to cover, but...
I played more Shantae, still loving that. Mm. I think I'm pretty close to done.
Oh, yeah. Is it long, Jamie? Is Shantae longer? Because the one for DSi was really short.
I think it is. It does not feel short. There is backtracking.
Okay.
Which is probably my biggest complaint with the game. But I would recommend that game to anyone. It's a good game.
Okay.
And I feel like I haven't. Oh, I played more Alien. That game's pretty good. It's fine. I've like gotten over the bad part.
You've been really up and down on this game.
I feel like I've once you accept it for what it is, and realize that I should have paid much less for it. I'm gonna keep playing that game.
That's good.
Yeah.
Justify those purchases.
I'm just happy that I have a PS4 retail game that I like completely with 100% certainty want to keep. Yeah. It only took an entire year, but there it is.
And now you have themes.
Oh yeah,
this is true.
Downloaded all of them for free.
Also, I don't think we've talked at all about Rebirth.
No, we haven't. Yeah,
Jamie, did you play it at all or not yet?
Yeah, I like it.
You like it too? Okay, awesome. I don't even know what to say about it except that it's really fun.
Sure is.
And there's a gazillion things to do.
Yeah.
And I've played like probably, I don't know, 15 hours or something, but there's so much more.
Yep.
I really like the control. I remember when I played it on PC when it first came out, I couldn't get the controls because it did that thing where the way you move after you shoot affects the bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like it just, whatever they did to the controls on PS4 and Vita, it just feels really good.
Yeah, because they still do that, but it may be better. Well, they've made the movement fully analog now, which is nice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, the shooting is still four-directional, but the movement is analog. So yeah. Maybe that might be part of it.
Just with the keyboard or something, because I remember it didn't have controller support at first, but something about it when it first came out, I saw the greatness, and I just couldn't, like, wrap my brain around it. But now I'm totally on board.
I'm loving playing it on Vita.
Yep, that's the way it should be.
Continues to be like one of the best handheld devices ever made.
Yeah. Good library.
Wonderful library. Yeah. Even though a lot of it is mirrored on other consoles, it's really fantastic.
You know
device.
What's not mirrored on other consoles on the Vita? Freedom Wars.
Whoa! Woo!
Yeah. Don't what recall if that? I talked about that, but it's essentially Monster Hunter with, I'm not familiar with the comic book, but, like, Suicide Squad is what the comparison is made to all those listeners out there who would get that. It's, I guess, like, you are part of a culture where your very existence is a hindrance, so you're given a jail time that you need to work off. By completing quests of killing gigantic cyber monsters. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's done. I'm done with that game because it's a long tutorial.
It's kind of like FF13. Long tutorial.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
That game has a 20-hour tutorial.
Oh, you mean until you get to Final Fantasy 13 too?
No, that game is stupidly long. Like, for how terrible it is, you don't actually get past all the learning how to do stuff part of the game until about 20 hours in, and then there's like 30 more hours left.
Yuck.
It's a bad game.
Yuck.
Yep, it's a bad game.
Yes.
Speaking of things on the Vita, I continue to play. And I've almost collected everything in Mutant Muds Deluxe, a game I think is fabulous. And there's a new game by that dude coming out next week on the 3DS that looks exactly the same. So I'm all about it.
Isn't there like a Xenoblots or something?
Xenodrifter. Next week for $10.
I want that. That looks like a Metroid-y's.
Yeah, it's like Mutant Muds, but with a Metroid-y kind of look, but I bet it'll... And if it controls like Mutant Muds, I will be extremely happy.
Yeah, Mutant Muds is very tight.
Yeah, super, super tight.
Yeah. Good game. Not an amazing game, in my opinion, but very solid.
How far are you?
I played like 10 levels, maybe. So not that far.
Yeah. You should keep go back. I think that game is perfect. Yeah, get out of the hinterlands, Jeff.
Mutant Muds really opens up.
You have to, because it is the game. The platforming is so tight that, and the levels are so meticulously crafted that you will start to play a level and you will die in the same place a bazillion times, and then you'll get extremely frustrated, and then you'll put the game down. And, like, then you'll pick it up the next day, and then you'll get through. And I feel like that's the way you're supposed to play Mutant Muds.
But so. The thing is, I feel like I was already kind of starting to see that, and I was like, I don't know if I have the patience for that.
Gotcha.
It didn't feel like the reward was great enough. Like, I feel like the reward in, like, Mario is like, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. It's so creative and imaginative. Each level is going to upend my notion of what's going on in this world. And then Mutant Muns is like, oh, there's another difficult platforming challenge ahead.
Yeah, it's literally, yeah, if you felt that way, it probably won't get better. Because instead of all of those emotions, it's just like, do this jump.
Yep.
It's hard. Do it.
The only time that I've been on board with that is like playing Endless. Like, oh, I'll get the reward of another devious level. Like, mm-hmm. even Super Meat Boy kind of burns me out a little bit after a while. Because it's just like, there's nothing, like, I don't know. It's just like, it gets so hard, and it's like, the reward is more hard.
Casual scum.
Yep, pretty much.
Well, hey, speaking of playing games the wrong way, I played through Call of Duty Advance Wars, the single player.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
Kevin Spacey.
He's good.
I have a question. Griffin, yeah. I hope you guys don't mind spoilers, but in the climactic scene, is Kevin Spacey about to kill you, but then... Oh, you're downed. Kevin Spacey's going to kill you, but then your buddy shoots him?
No.
Damn it. Nope. They broke the trend.
Yeah. Wait, what are you talking about?
Is there a climactic scene where you're downed in one way or another? Uh-huh. Kevin Spacey speaks to you about his plans, prepares to kill you, and then is at the last moment killed by someone else?
No. Definitely not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's something you think the games do, because they don't.
they all do it. I'll show you video evidence of it.
I distinctly remember some pretty rad scenes where you're like throwing knives at people's heads and stuff. That's the climactic finish.
Man, I don't know.
But it's fun, and you actually do get to dispatch people twice, I think, by your own hand. In the game
twice,
yeah, and pretty awful. What is a pretty awfully graphic moment?
What happens?
He just slit his throat, like, right while he's in your face, while you're stuck behind a pickup truck and a wall.
Do you say no Russian as you do it?
There, you know, that's one of the things that I keep thinking about when I play the Call of Duty games. It's like that was the thing once where that was a level that you played, and they're just. I'm not saying that, like, there should be more of those, but Call of Duty has really kind of figured out its formula and sticks to it now, as you're saying, with, like, the kind of obvious story. I think Call of Duty Black Ops 2 did a lot of deviation from that, and I'm really, really happy that game did. And this one kind of went back to the formula of, like, yep, this is just straight progression from start to finish. You have some agency in the moment to moment stuff, but not in the actual game story progression, or the way that the story unfolds. I don't want to say too much about Black Ops because it's really good.
Yeah, I gotta play that game.
You should.
But
the suits are great. Being able to jump around, do all that stuff is really cool. You got robot arm.
Robot.
That's about it.
Sounds cool.
I watched the Giant Bomb video where they started from the beginning, and then, like, immediately, like, literally immediately after, like, the first opening cinematic type thing, a little icon pops up above someone's head and it says follow.
Yep.
And yeah. I was like, okay.
Still doing that same thing. Absolutely. Yeah. And then there's the whole, like, pay respects meme where, you know, you're engaging in, like, a interactive cutscene moment, and it's like, to progress the scene, you have to click this button that is labeled pay respects or whatever. So it's bad.
Is that kind of like in God of War for PSP when you had to hammer the square button to throw your daughter's hand away?
Yeah.
So you could forget her?
Not like snake in the toaster oven sort of thing. No, definitely not that. Like, it's not like they map it on a button that you would not normally be able to press because you don't have an arm now or something like that. What I was going to say, though, is it has some pretty awesome like QuickTime events, which is kind of weird to say about any game, but I don't remember them kind of being in Call of Duty games before. in this way that it's presented, and they're really dynamic and really exciting, but they are very contextual too, so they do a great job with kind of like hiding them in the moment, because you don't really expect them coming, and it's not really like a Resident Evil 6 sort of a thing where you're like, oh shit, dodge the tank again for the 8th time, super boring. But I think overall it's a very good Call of Duty game. Definitely not as good as like any of the like Black Ops 2, but yeah, super fun. And you know, if you like playing what was that, Titanfall, for the movement and traversal, like you get that same kind of feel in this, but you know, you can do it in a safe, friendly environment where you're not having to play people online. You can just play through the story.
I want to play it. I don't know why.
It's just really good looking faces too.
Buy it for $5 next year.
You get wispy beard. What's his name? Pervasive voice actor who's in everything now.
Jeff Goldblum.
Yep, nailed it. That's it. Him and his stupid wispy beard.
It's kind of speaking of what you just said, Jeff. So I just looked on Steam. Guess how much Ghosts is?
$5.
$60. Guess how much Black Ops 2 is?
$60.
$60. I don't know why these games are so expensive still.
Because they made $1 billion.
That's true.
Don't buy Ghosts. That's a bad one.
I would never do that. But people keep telling me to play Black Ops, so I'm gonna do that, and I wanna try this new one.
It's fun. It's good looking. Good looking future guns too. Love them future guns.
I like future guns.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
You guys should play Mutant Muds Deluxe.
Do they have any non-lethal takedowns in Call of Duty?
You can throw a car door at somebody.
I think that kills them, though.
I'm pretty certain it does, too.
It would be great if you could just pay respects at any time.
There's a dedicated terrorist.
Yeah.
There was like a 20-second animation.
Oh, man.
Of you stealing your gaze, trying not to cry.
We've really, really upended the multiplayer this year. Instead of the pick 10 system, we've decided to replace every melee attack with pay respects.
Well, there's going to be a new mode, pay respects only.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Yo, dude, that guy just killed me and he's paying respect to my corpse.
Oh,
that's
man.
Gross, man.
Oh, it's so unfair. You can't pick Ajab when you play pay respects only. He's too short.
Easier dick access.
Yeah. I only play Wispy Beard Troy Baker. That's the only way to play.
There are grenades in that game that have little jets on them and they fly.
Yep.
And that's
also cool. Also, you can switch the grenade into any kind of grenade.
Yes, it's so cool. You make it into a grenade that sees through walls. You just use those all the time.
It's not a grenade. That's a different device than a grenade.
X-ray specs.
No, that's seriously a different device. I don't think that's not a thing, is it?
It is. You, one of the things you turn the grenade function to, besides like stun, EMP, explode, it's paint targets through walls.
I mean in actual reality.
Well, I mean, this is, you get a robot arm, dude. You get a Luke Skywalker robot arm.
I do know that Kevin Space is going to take over the world.
You get on floating motorcycles in weird like future Detroit.
Wait, don't they know that future Detroit is going to be a bankrupt hellscape?
It's exactly that. That's why you're on floating motorcycles, so you don't have to touch the filthy, putrid, toxic waste ground.
Oh, goodness.
That's everything on my list of importance here. You guys got anything else?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
I'm so congested, you guys.
You should rock your nasal bone.
Probably Ebola.
Probably, yeah, you got it.
They can spread through. It can spread through amoebas.
A dog is so upset about your congestion.
He's flipping his shit. Holy crap!
Man.
Let me see what's up.
He's like, Hold on. You should get some Mucinex.
Hold on, I'll be back. I'll be back, guys.
Okay, we'll be here.
Okay, I'm not leaving the call. Just muting so, shortly.
Are you carrying your heated blanket with you?
Griff, did you get a chance to try the multiplayer?
For what?
For Advanced Warfare.
Oh yeah, of course. I played a little bit of it. Just to try it. And of course I'm terrible. I watch Hunter play a lot more. He's very good. But the mech suit definitely makes the difference. Like you can kind of traverse in a more interesting way through a map. It creates more dynamic confrontations because you can take high ground, lower ground quicker, and then you can like do quick dashes around cover, which helps. You know, if you are getting shot up, you can kind of escape that way. But as a person who sucks at first person shooters, I you know did not fare well in the matches. I think one time I didn't finish last. So I was pretty excited about that one.
That's why I feel on Titanfall.
Yeah,
but is the fact that you can, you know, the fact that there's verticality to the levels and the fact that you can jump around, does that make it a little easier to not die immediately all the time, or are you still dying immediately all the time?
Still just part. Dying immediately all the time, yeah.
Okay. That's my favorite part about that game.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like any FPS, you're going to have that, and the longer the time goes on, the more, you know, refined the audience is going to be to where it's just the hardcore. And the other problem was Hunter and I were playing together, so, you know, he would play a couple matches, do really well, rank me up, and then I would get on, and I'm like level 15 playing against, you know, equally matched people, and I'm like, this is not me. I cannot do this. I need to go back to the scrub tier. I don't get this. Yeah.
By the way, guys,
still fun.
I played one more game.
Okay.
Demon's Crest. You guys should play that game.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys should really play that game.
It's on the Wii U.
It's on the Wii U. Yeah. It's on the Virtual Console. It's an SNES Console title.
Didn't we talk about this last time?
I think we did. I think we did. You guys should play that game. It's really
that
fun.
Slice of life apartment decorating game.
Oh, yeah,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
It's combinations
of friends
apartment
of video
decorating
games.
Slash hentai. Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah. All right.
That's all.
I'm downloading it right now.
Really?
No.
Damn. It's really fun. Stream it. Go ahead, Jamie.
I bought that game. I bought the best game of all time. I bought Last of Us Remastered.
Oh, yeah.
And I played a little bit of that. And it's definitely worth $20, which is where you can find it for that now on strange websites that seem illegal but aren't.
I contemplated the same thing.
It's just playing that game for literally 20 minutes just reminds me how the writing and pacing and cinematography of all other games just suck.
Yep.
And that one is such an anomaly. Not just, I obviously love video games and whatever, but that one is just like shoulders above everything else. It's amazing. That's all I have to say about that, though. It's the same game.
Does it have does it have the real ending? The true ending? where you can make out with Ellen Page?
Oh. Wait, I thought it's someone where Ellie plays the guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I will say, I didn't know what to expect about the 60 frames per second, because I do feel that sometimes 60 as opposed to 30 can feel less cinematic and less suspenseful.
Oh shit, NeoGaf's gonna kill you.
But that is not the case at all, and it's just as suspenseful. It literally feels more responsive because that's apparently how games like this work.
Does it look appreciably better?
Yes.
Awesome. Maybe I'll be dumb and buy it at some point.
Don't be dumb. It's incredible. It's like playing the best game ever again, but it looks better. That's not dumb. That's
no, it's
smart.
It's okay. I don't feel that dumb about it.
Are you gonna play Renegade this time through?
Renegade
for the left trigger. You be Bad Joel from start to finish.
Yeah,
kicking so many clickers through windows.
Well, it's just like Mass Effect 3 because Renegade is the only way to win.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty much it's the same ending, man. You have to go Renegade.
Exactly. Yeah. In this,
in
the remastered
in a room. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you keep going with your goof.
I was gonna say they put you in a room, and you either die or you go Renegade.
Okay. Is this which option in this one do you choose to get to have sex with Martin Sheen?
Wait, do you actually get to bone him in the series?
No, unfortunately, so sad. No.
It's a really illusory man.
You can look
at
this.
Illusory dong.
That game's so good.
I was also wearing an illusory condom. You're pregnant.
Space pregnant. No.
Oh goodness.
Well, Jeff, is there anything else you played that you want to go over?
No.
All right. Well, it is the end of the year. 2014 is drawing to an end. I believe there's only 3 more games coming out this year, possibly. Two?
Toad.
Yeah.
Got my pre-order.
Yep. The one's going to fly off the shelf.
All one copy coming to my Best Buy will be sold to me.
When you go, typically you walk into that GameStop and they're like, dude, you didn't pre-order your copy? Well, I'm sorry, we didn't get enough in for you. You should have pre-ordered Toad Treasure Tracker.
I still can't believe I found a freaking GameCube adapter over at the Lewiston Best Buy. Freaking luckiest thing in the world.
Free advertising.
Come on down.
I got the last one, so go ahead and come on down.
At my GameStop, they say, you really should have pre-ordered this game. I can't believe it. You're a terrible person. And I really don't think I can, but here's the game.
Wow, that's better than mine. They just tell me that I should have pre-ordered it, and that's it. And then maybe somebody's like, you can have my copy that I pre-ordered. And then I usually just walk out at that point.
Yeah, if I don't pre-order a game at GameStop, there's like a 75% chance I'm not getting it.
That's disgusting. That's... Like, not getting it because they don't have a copy in, or because you're just the only way you get it is by pre-ordering.
They don't have a copy.
Ugh.
But the thing, that's because I pre-ordered Nintendo games, and Nintendo literally just ships the number of pre-orders, maybe plus one.
Hmm.
That's Nintendo.
Yep.
Well, let's make 40,000 GameCube controllers and 10 GameCube adapters.
That's new hardware, man. I mean, they got those controllers laying around.
They don't have the supply line worked up yet.
They broke into the Mad Catz factory and took all the repurposed ones and turned them back into Nintendo branded.
All they had to do was get the little stamp and put the little Smash logo on there. And
they just went into hotel rooms across the nation and took that shit that was plugged into the TV.
No, they just went into college dorm rooms. I'm assuming people are starting to move on from 64 to cube by now.
Really? I thought that would be the leap right now. I think people are bringing GameCubes into college. I think that's probably too old, right?
I don't know, man. That's a classic console right there.
I just feel like no one bought a GameCube besides us.
Like, maybe, yeah.
Didn't they sell like, if you look at sales charts of Nintendo hardware, the GameCube was, like, far and away the poorest selling.
Let's try and avoid facts as best we can here.
So, 30 million.
Hard and fast.
I just ruined it for you, Griff. Sorry. The Wii U probably won't hit 30 million, for what it's worth.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
You're going to get awfully close, though.
To 30 million?
Yeah, and what with that second run of Amiibos. It's gonna rope them all.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! It's gonna rope me in. Yeah.
Every Amiibo is secretly a Wii U.
Probably.
That's what NFC is.
You could probably fit a Wii U in something that small. The underpowered internals.
Oh!
Whoa! Whoa!
Oh man!
I overclocked my Wii U.
I'm actually really excited to use the new giant flash card that I bought. Not like a Japanese hacking card, just literally an SD card that I bought to load a bunch of games onto. It's gonna
happen tonight. I have a 500 gigabyte hard drive attached to my Wii U because I'm stupid.
But that's inelegant.
You guys, have you seen those pictures of that 20th anniversary PlayStation 4 that are coming around?
Yeah,
pictures of that. What do you think? Love it.
I heard you guys talking about it. I like it.
It looks fine.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. It's not, like, amazing. It just looks fine.
Yeah.
I think it looks pretty amazing.
I think they're I think they're smart to charge $100 extra because people will pay that money.
Oh God, yes.
People will do it immediately.
I was pretty down on it because I think that a lot of the like industrial design of that time is horseshit. But the fact that they're just like, oh, we'll take the same color, this ugly ass gray, it's fine. And then I saw when they did the classic PlayStation logo treatment to it. I did really like that. Like they got that really colorful PlayStation thing that's on the controller and on the system. I like that.
Yeah, that looks fine. Yep. Nothing wrong with it.
Limited run. How many? It's like less than a million or something, or less than 500,000.
That's not that limited.
No. It is. It's 12,300.
There we go. Okay.
Okay. Why is that number
important? No idea.
Oh, 12-3 maybe?
I don't know.
December 3rd? Was that the date of the anniversary?
That would make sense, yeah. Yeah. Which I think they've already given out half the stock to games journalists based on Twitter pictures. Look what I just got in the mail.
Oh, yet another reason to dislike games journalists.
Huh? Yep.
Womp womp. Oh. Anyway. All right, well, any other noteworthy things to cover for this?
Guilty
this
Gear.
Sesh?
Guilty Gear. Exerd.
I only feel guilty.
Get ready. Get ready for it.
After I'm done. That's when I feel guilty.
After you're done sleeping with your body pillow, your space dwarf, your cyber dwarf body pillow?
I wish. But sadly, no.
I don't know. I think we'll talk amongst ourselves about what we're going to do for podcasting for the rest of the year, but definitely doing some Game of the Year stuff is in order.
Definitely.
So yeah. keep your podcast library open. Your Stitcher feed sent to this RSS that exists.
Keep your GeoCities cache open.
Yeah, subscribe to us on AngelFire and log in to ICQ. IRC, excuse me.
You know what? How about we just page our listeners when we're ready for them?
Yeah. We'll send out beepers to all the listeners.
Or if we really want to get with the times, we could send them a yo. You guys know about yo?
Uh-uh.
Yo.
What's that?
Is that? Did you just do it?
Is that it?
Yeah. Yo is an app where you literally can just send a yo.
Did you just try and activate somebody? Like sleep yourself up?
Yo is an app where literally your only mode of communicating with people is by sending them a yo, and you can just send a yo that's affiliated with something. So, for example, if you are a podcast, you can just go, yo, whenever your podcast comes in.
Wow.
Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
I can't wait until the whole human race communicates in monosyllables.
Current version has 4 stars on the iTunes store. Good. Just checked.
Was this developed by the same people who made Journey?
No. I'm looking at it right now. Exclusive content from the NBA will trigger a yo on your device.
Oh my God. Okay, I was at a basketball game when I was on vacation, an NBA game, and it was sponsored by Carl's Jr., the burger joint, Carl's Jr. Burgers. And in the middle of the game, during a timeout, they said it's promotional Carl's Jr. Burger time, and people in the rafters of the basketball stadium started throwing burgers with parachutes on them over the edge, pelting the crowd, shelling the crowd with delicious meaty sandwiches from the sky.
That is incredible.
Oh, it's so good. I wanted one so bad.
You can get them after they hit the floor, man.
No, you have to eat them in the air. It's the only way they're fresh.
No, Carl's Jr.'s has a special rule. It's like a 5-hour rule for freshness.
There's a half-life to it? It's just...
They're actually they go through a chemical bath before they come out.
That's why.
So they can withstand being on the floor for longer periods of time.
Well, due to some situations during the basketball game, my family did win free Carl's Jr., whatever that nebulous term means. So I think I'm entitled to... Whenever I set foot into the next Carl's Jr., I will show them the photo evidence from the game of how I was there and that I do deserve free Carl's Jr. They're contractually obligated.
Just show them your Griff Jr. They'll give you some Carl Jr.
That's also chemically treated.
And it also lasts longer than 5 hours. Penis.
All right, guys. I think we can end it here.
Yep.
This has been Boss Barrel Radio, episode 151. I'm Griff Hoffman, and with me has been Jeff Brewer.
Hi. James, I mean, Schiller. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
And we're out.
Beep. I'm going to say beep at the end of every episode now.